We're going to begin this hour with Stroman on Sports, joined on the phone by Dr. Debbie Stroman, star athlete, sports commentator, host of Cover 2 on WCHL, analytics expert, and a whole lot more. We're talking about the college football playoff, which is coming up this Saturday. Alabama taking on Oklahoma, Clemson taking on Notre Dame. No UNC, of course, to be found in the mix, not this year at least, but Clemson repping the ACC, looking for another national championship. Debbie Stroman on the line right now. Thanks for being with us today. Thoughts about the college football playoff?
Thank you, Aaron. It's definitely a quiet time for the football lovers from Duke State and, of course, UNC. But for the rest of the nation, the buzz is still alive. The NFL playoff matchups are getting figured out. And definitely this weekend, this Saturday, is when we have our Final Four in college football getting a chance to find their way and see if they can make it to the big game in Santa Clara on January 7th. But as you mentioned, we do have an ACC team. I know some people in this area have come to hate Clemson, but they bring in $6 million to the league. And the ACC is very unique. All of the Final Four teams get $6 million. But based on your conference and how they allocate the dollars, you may get more or you may get a lot less. But for the ACC, it's $6 million that gets divided by 14 teams. Well, where it's pretty standard. We know for the ACC that Clemson will get their share, a little more than $2 million. But for the rest of the teams, it can be as low as $2 million and as high as $11 million. And I'll let you guess, Aaron, which team could make up to $11 million if they make it to the final game?
Oh, is it Alabama?
It's actually Notre Dame.
Oh, it's Notre Dame because no conference, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. They get their $6 million for participation, plus they get a $2.334 million expense reimbursement, and they have baked into their program $2.9 million for meeting its academic progress rate.
So, I mean, it's kind of telling about the whole college football playoff scheme and just the state of college football in particular and college athletics in general. We're talking already about the finances behind the games before we even start to talk about the on-the-field action. And that leads to the kind of the larger question about the college football playoff and the whole system of bowls in general, is that it is very much all about the money and all about maximizing the revenue that goes to all of the different players involved. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, is there how much of a gap is there between what maximizes revenue and what's actually best for the teams and the players and the sport and the schools?
Well, I would say this is probably arguably the biggest thing that you can look at and say we've got major commercialization and exploitation. It's the college football bowl playoff picture. So everybody was upset because the media or the coaches are ranking teams throughout the year, college football, and no one is really happy at the end of the year. And so finally, the pressure just heated up, and they said, we need to have a playoff. Well, you have four teams. Well, arguably, you have about 20 teams that are in the running. But finally, they pick four teams, and then they get to be in the official college bowl playoff, college football playoff. This entity is completely separate from the NCAA. So two different entities. Now, the folks who are running football during the regular season are NCAA members. They're parts of conferences. They're parts of institutions. But yet, we're supposed to wink. We're supposed to close our eyes and say, oh, now another group, the college football playoff, is going to take over. But in reality, it's the same people who are actually running this part. Where it can get really, really uncomfortable, and I remember watching a documentary a few years ago about talking about how college bowls are really designed to help the economic impact of their particular location, as in they generate all of these dollars and then they give it back to the local community. Well, this documentary really outlined that very few bowls, if any, actually give back in a meaningful way to the community. A lot of money is pocketed. And for example, when we talk about salaries, the guys who actually run these bowl games, it is very, very disturbing. We're talking about the Orange Bowl director, the executive director for the Orange Bowl. His salary is $1.2 million. And the average salary is about $400,000 for the folks who actually, for the head person who runs the bowl. And then, of course, it just, I mean, you can just imagine the dollars that involve with all the major sponsors being there. In fact, it is the version of a Super Bowl for college football. It's very, very, very big event. So how that money trickles down to the athlete, a lot of question marks.
Oh, I can imagine the kind of the biggest kind of economic driver for the community around isn't so much the money that comes from the bowl itself, because I'm sure you're right. Most of that gets pocketed by the people who have access to the money in the first place. But the larger benefit for the community, I think, is the tourism dollars from people coming into the city and staying for three nights in hotels and eating at restaurants and things like that. But then that begs the question, is it even worth it at that point?
Well, that is a great question. And we know about hotels and restaurants and gas stations and everybody adding the extra, game tax, so to speak, where the hotel room is, $140 and now it's $340. So there's money to be made, but there's a lot of money that's made by the bowls, and then they give a gift back to the community, whether that might be helping to build something or to help a really depressed area and donate. And it's all these things that are tallied and said that the bowl is going to do. But when you get behind the curtain, you find that it's actually not happening. And I think because of that exposure, now they're better, but they're still not doing what they said they're going to do. And I wish I had the link on my mind right now. I share it with our audience. But if anyone is definitely interested in this, just look at bowl payouts and bowl scams, and you can look at this documented work by journalists in terms of the payouts. But the other thing to mention is, having Clemson and Notre Dame in the Cotton Bowl, again, this Saturday night. Notre Dame is a partial member of the ACC, but they only receive a bowl share in years when it plays in an ACC-contracted bowl game. And so this year it will not receive any ACC money because the Cotton Bowl is not an ACC-contracted bowl game. So Notre Dame is a big winner, win or lose. Clemson, of course, is great for the ACC. It's great for branding for their football program. They continue to do well. Having Oklahoma playing Alabama, it could be a payback game. It could be Oklahoma puffing their chest out saying Alabama's not a dynasty. But I know all eyes will be on that because the two quarterbacks were Heisman finalists. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Oklahoma quarterback won it all.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, talking about the college football playoff. Of course, Alabama is a dynasty, and you mentioned the payouts for the four teams that are making it to the college football playoff, pretty significant all around, but also begs the question kind of at the level of the schools and the programs and the athletic departments, and we're kind of having this conversation in Chapel Hill about just how much UNC's athletics department is committing itself to college football and hiring Mack Brown and building the new facilities and trying to turn UNC into a winning football program that can compete on the national level. How worth it is it for a non-Alabama college football program to spend all of the money that it's going to take to try to keep up with Nick Saban and what's going on in Tuscaloosa?
Well, between the pay for Mack Brown and a $30 million new indoor facility, we'll all keep watching and paying attention to this. I've come to believe that unless you are going to go all in, and in fact, that was Clemson's motto a few years, or the past few years, you're just wasting your money. Mm-hmm. And when I say all in, as in the faculty has to understand, we're going after big-time football, big championships, so don't complain. If you have some athletes in your class who are not there attending like they should, if you have a lot of money put into a support system for the athletes, and I'm talking about everything from nutrition to strength and conditioning to academics to travel to equipment to sports medicine, you have to have a local community that buys in and turns the other way when some type of bad behavior occurs. You have to be all in and let the coaches do whatever it takes. If that means bending the rules a bit, which I believe happens for these top programs, that's the only way you're going to compete. And if you're not going to compete all in, then I do believe it's a waste of money. It'll be interesting to see what North Carolina does again, another, you know, version of let's put some more butts in seats in Keenan Stadium. But the money that goes out at the expense of other sports programs, other things that are going on campus, it's actually pretty frightening. But, you know, when you look at Nick Saban now, he just got a contract extension through the 2025 season. Mm-hmm. He's going to make $8.3 million a year this season. And if he sticks around for the full, you know, through 2025, it can go as high as $9.3 million. I don't know if I can put my head around someone making, you know, $9 million or even $8 million to coach a bunch of young men who I believe in. But that's just, it's just crazy, Aaron, just to even say it out loud.
And then with all of that kind of swirling around kind of financially, and insofar as we've been talking about the bowl games as being kind of revenue generators, the players themselves are the ones who really aren't getting any share of that at all, except very tangentially with the scholarships and tuition and the packages that they get to come here, but they don't get any share of the actual revenue. And now we're starting to see players kind of rebelling against the whole bowl system. We're not going to see this in the Final Four with Alabama and Oklahoma and Clemson and Notre Dame, but on those lower tier bowls, you're starting to see more and more players saying, you know what, it's not even worth it to risk my health, risk injury. If I'm a senior, I'm going to the NFL draft. I want to be fully healthy and ready to be drafted and to present myself for my future in pro football. I'm not even going to play this game. And they're pulling out and pulling out and pulling out of playing in those lower tier bowls, which is pretty significant in and of itself as a development.
Well, it definitely makes a mockery of the bowl system when you have the young men decide that they're not going to play. You know, people say, oh, well, they're getting a scholarship. They're getting an academic. Well, when they decide to leave, you know, after their first or second year, well, there goes that argument that they're there for the academics. I'm very happy that some of them do come back and finish their degree. But to have it when you're 17, 18, 19 years old, it shows that it isn't that important to a lot of these young men when they're looking at the possibility of making millions. And then they say, well, they're getting to travel, and they get to go to a big bowl game and under the lights. Well, that will happen when they get their shot at the NFL. And then lastly, people will joke and say, well, it's the swag you get. You'll get a new smartphone. You might get a sweatsuit, some really cool technology in your gift bag when you play in the bowl. Well, when you're talking about signing bonuses of anywhere from $600,000 to, you know, $5 million, that's really laughable. But like you stated, in the Big Bowl, you know, the Final Four, we don't have anybody opting out as of yet. But certainly in the history, we've had a number of star players, including Ohio State Nick Bosa, mm-hmm. who announced that he wasn't going to play in any more college games. And in the past, we had star NFL players Christian McCaffrey down with the Charlotte Panthers and Leonard Fournette. They actually skipped out on their bowl games, knowing that it was important to be healthy for the NFL draft, for the workout, and to really optimize this time period or maximize this time period and not spend the time with your team running that risk of anything happening in a negative way.
We got to wrap up, but before we do, really quickly on the field, you've got Alabama, Oklahoma in one game, Clemson, Notre Dame in the other. Who ends up beating who in the championship game a week from Saturday?
Well, my sentimental favorite is Clemson. I have every year with Project Touchdown, I take students to the game, and we'll be venturing out this year as well. And I've had the opportunity to spend time with Clemson and their football staff, and I'm really, really enjoy watching them and how they take care of their team and all that they do, all in. But in terms of going with the head instead of the heart, you have to look at Alabama. Especially they have a feel-good story going on where their starting quarterback last year was benched, although he helped them win an important game this year as they were winning their SEC championship. And then that guy comes back to actually take over from their current starter, Tua. So it's going to be interesting to see which quarterback plays, injury or not injury. But I think all money is on Alabama to win another national championship for Nick Saban.
Games are this Saturday. Dr. Debbie Strowman, thank you so much.
Thank you.